And Kathy Dawes now, along with Chris Hoopy, Neil Ebert with the Pyro Crew in Wamego. Also, Kara Holly, and she's with the Wamego Area Chamber of Commerce, 537-1350. If you have questions or comments, Boomtown, you have it on your T-shirts, Chris. And I guess that's what we're calling it now. Is that correct?
Well, it's become an unofficial name. A local paper editor coined a story several years back and said, "Welcome to Boomtown." And that's just kind of grown and stuck since then. So we'll roll with it. Seems to fit.
Well, tell us what you've been doing to get prepared for this. And, you know, maybe a brief history. I know we have you in every year, but some people may be new to the area. And just remind us how long this shindig's been going on.
Yeah, well, so preparation, as you said, it starts a good while back. And as Mike and Paul shared, you know, 6 months is none too early to start preparing for an event like this. And I'd like to just give a shout out to them and the law enforcement team, that group. All the players come together so well and coordinate to put in a wonderful plan to get that town cleared out quickly afterwards. And as they said, the traffic really does start to flow at 45 minutes after in a very fluid manner. One of the keys is you cannot add cars onto roadways that are full. And immediately after the event, the surge happens and the roads do fill, just like a K-State game. So the thing that I think is kind of remarkable is the safety record that they've had of getting people out of our community with no accidents and in a very efficient way. So that's something to be proud of, and those folks do a great job.
Don't let that bother you. Every once in a while with the weather, you'll hear a break. So I know that's kind of disconcerting, but I know and I appreciate both Chief Baker and Deputy Chief Schliffke being on, and we do have Pottawatomie County Sheriff Greg Riott will be on tomorrow. So, and I'm sure he will also address, because they help with traffic control and that kind of thing. And I'm trying to remember, it seems like last year, Chris, that there was so much construction going on? I mean, I don't think you have quite as much of that going on this year.
Right. There was some significant construction on the way back to Manhattan last year that created a significant bottleneck at the edge of Manhattan city limits that stretched back across Highway 24. But you're not dealing with that this year. Things are open and flowing. Historically, you know, this event with the Pyro Crew has been rolling now for 20 years with this particular crew. And it's continuing a longstanding tradition in Wamego that goes back with the impetus of the parade, which is our 146th, is that correct? Long time. That's a lot of years to celebrate freedom and independence in a community. And that's the thing that this group wanted to do, was just keep that tradition strong and alive. And the fireworks is but a piece of the total celebration. And the thing that's really encouraging is all the volunteers and folks that come in and make this event go each year from every angle. Whether it's volunteers on the Pyro Crew or volunteers helping with traffic and guests and visitors and parade lines. And it's just a really neat town effort where people just give to a cause that's bigger than themselves. And that creates a lot of pride, and it's a lot of fun.
And Kara, I know that this really does draw people to the Wamego area. This is a pretty big event for the city of Wamego.
Yes, it's huge. And it is something that we are pretty proud of. We do have a few new things this year. We will have 3 information stations set around town for visitors to ask questions. We've not had that in the past, and we thought we would just have little kiosks. One will be in front of the library on Lincoln. One will be in front of the high school on Lincoln. And then one will be at the shuttle drop at the complex. So if anybody has any questions, there's going to be people at those information stations to answer any questions that they may have.
Neil, how long have you been involved in this? And I know we hear the term the finale that never ends. I mean, that's really what it is.
Yes. Well, I've been doing this for about 10 years with Chris and the rest of the guys. They were doing it longer, but it took me a little longer to get involved. We try really hard. First thing we will do is develop our soundtrack. That surprises some people that we actually do the music before we even start thinking about fireworks, when we piece that together and really try to take people on a journey. I've heard people call it like a sky ballet or a pyro musical, and try to be theatrical with it. We try to make it really good all the time, and we don't like to have any dead air time or lag in it, and we really want it to impress people.
And I think our sister station's kind of helping out a little bit in getting that music out there, too.
Yes, absolutely. We encourage everyone to bring a radio so they can tune it to B104.7. A couple of different great ways to do that is a personal radio with some earbuds. Really lets you sort of filter some of the noise from our show out. and then listen to our soundtrack really well. The other way to great way to do that would be to you know, have a radio that projects over the whole field. We shoot over such a large area, and there's such a large viewing area. There's no way we can project it with speakers. We can't overpower the fireworks, and we can't broadcast like out of our speakers over that large of an area. So if everyone has their own radio, it will help. There will be no delay, and you'll understand what we were trying to do when we were shooting our fireworks to the music.
Dave, you wanted to add something?
Yeah, and one thing we want our listeners to be aware of, if you happen to be like streaming the radio station, there will be a delay. So we encourage everybody to use the FM radio and bring their old boombox to Boomtown.
Correct.
Yeah, so so don't solid. Stream it. You like that?
Nice.
Yeah. Do you see how I did that?
It's a good segue.
Yeah, yeah. So we just, like you said, you know, the earbuds thing I think is going to be a very popular thing because you'll still be able to capture the ambiance of, I mean, it's going to be plenty loud.
Right. Right.
It's going to be plenty loud, but to bring, and there'll be some tailgaters. Turn on their car stereo.
Right.
But do it on FM. Don't stream it because then you will have a delay.
Yeah, that's a great point. Great point. Thanks for bringing that up. It is just critical that it's on FM. Our timing on this show, the accuracy with which we laid these in is 1/10 of a second. So as we worked on scripting this, Neil and myself literally would spend 6 minutes staring at a music cue and figuring out, do we put it on this 10th or the other 10th? And that's kind of really silly. I know that sounds very strange, but... You know, is it more impactful that this explodes here or there? And we spend a lot of time on that element. And the FM radio piece is just so critical. And we're so thankful for the partnership. But with the earbuds, with your own personal radio, as Dave said, you can feel the boom. And then you can dial that music mix up to just the perfect level for your listening's likes. And you just get this concert in the sky that is like nothing you've ever seen, felt, experienced before.
Chris, one of the things that I think is fascinating is all the different elements that you put into that music soundtrack, because you've got so many different songs, and you've got sound effects, you've got voices, and all kinds of different things. Who puts that soundtrack together?
That's Neil and myself sit down and do that. We start in March when high schools and schools are going on spring break. We're really cranking up on the music, and actually, we have songs on the board right now that are in the deck for next year and beyond. We're constantly thinking about songs that would work well with effects that we've seen, and then we try to source those effects. This soundtrack's going to be great this year. This is a complete rewrite. We've shot a similar set of songs in the deck the last couple of years because, honestly, to script a show is quite literally hundreds and hundreds of hours to build a show. So this rewrite we did this year has some incredible songs. We've got... Captain America, Neil chime in. We have Star Trek, old Star Trek, new Star Trek looped in there. Stuff from The Incredibles.
We've got song
Superman.
Song from The Last of the Mohicans that I really have been wanting to shoot. It's a softer piece, and it was one of the things we tried to do this year was we've got a couple of times when we actually slow it down, and for just a little bit of time, we shoot something very slower for us and more artistic. Very timed, very coordinated, and then we'll take and pick it right back up. But we've got some really, really good music, and then we've got some more contemporary stuff. We've got some Justin Timberlake in there, and then we keep our old favorites. With Wamigo being such an Oz town, we keep the Somewhere Over the Rainbow, and we always finish with God Bless the USA.
Have a little Louis Armstrong, just a mix that I think everyone will grab something from. But most importantly, the music fits pyrotechnics. And we found effects to accent the music. And that's, like Neil said, we don't plan and throw out fireworks and then play some music to it. We build some music to take you on a journey, on a story, on a magical journey, and then we set the fireworks to that music. And that's an approach, a craft that we've been developing over the last 5 years, really, as technology has come a long way and enabled us to do some things very unique with our site. And it's really become our focus. Wamigo's not just a fireworks show or a fireworks display. We're thinking of it more in terms of a fireworks experience, a total experience, more like a theatrical production or a stage show. And we're really honing in on that and trying to develop a brand of fireworks that's a little unique, maybe cutting edge and forefront in terms of thought process around pyrotechnics. And we have a site in Wamigo at that complex that allows us to do that. 200,000 square feet of shooting site. With multiple launch locations within that site, that's like putting together four or five communities fireworks shows in one location and then finding a way to tie them all together so they work as one. And that's frightening. Frightening, but at the same time, very rewarding if and when it works.
And, you know, there's something about music that just the emotional aspect of it. I mean, it almost makes you teary-eyed. I mean, I'm sure you're so busy you don't have a chance to feel that way necessarily, Neil, or do you?
I'm so busy down there, but I can tell you when we get it put together in the shop, there is an absolute emotional connection to it, and we try to make it good music and give you a little insight into our process. For instance, a couple years ago, we found a bunch of ring shells for to shoot to the song Ring of Fire by Johnny Cash, and so that was an effect that we thought that matched up really well. Now, we phased that out because we try to keep it new and fresh. And this year, little teaser alert, we've got a song by Coldplay that's called A Sky Full of Stars, and we've got a shell called a Flower Crown Corolla that is going to, I think, really, really impress people. And that's one that I can tell you when we're sitting there and it starts shooting on our software simulation, I was like, oh, wow, that's going to be really, really good. And then looking forward, he mentioned we do have songs sort of in the deck. I've, for instance, like Purple Rain by Prince, I've been trying to find purple shells to shoot to that for several years, and I just can't find a purple shell that I like. But someday, somewhere, somebody's going to invent a purple shell that I think is good enough to shoot to that, and you may see that in the future. So that's sort of our process of past, present, and future of what we're looking for, and always got new effects we're looking for.
How did you train for all this?
I think that would be the School of Hard Knocks. There's a lot of trial and error.
Have you graduated yet?
No. I'm still getting knocked around every once in a while. But we trained for the pyrotechnic piece. That's not one you leave up to chance. That one, the first hard knock may really hurt you. So that we've got a lot of training on with the actual explosive elements. Our crew's very professional. We actually trained through the PGI, which is the Pyrotechnics Guild International. And so we train for that piece. As far as the artistic and the scripting and the music and all that, Chris here is very, very smart and very good on a computer, and he enables us to take it to the next level. But yeah, the rest of it's just sort of trial and error. And we've had some we got awful deep into and go, man, that still looks stupid, and scrap it before anybody sees it. So.
Good deal. Well, let's go ahead and take another break. It is now 9:32, and again with us, Chris Hoopy and Neil Ebert with the Pyro Crew out of Wamego. Celebrate freedom with Wamego and Boomtown, of course. And Kara Holly also standing by, Wamego Area Chamber of Commerce, 537-1350 if you want to join in. And if you've been, want to comment on it, we'd love to hear from you. You're listening to In Focus on News Radio, KMAN.